Hey, so welcome to the Round Table Podcast. This is week two, episode two of this epic podcast. That was amazing. If you missed out last week, make sure that you go on. We were talking about there's healing for a hurried life. That was part one. And we're going to continue on this week in part two. So if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube live during our 8 p.m. service, please comment. Let us know you're here. We'd love to have conversation. We've got a team on board that is there as well. We'd love to connect with you. But if you're watching this forward on YouTube or on podcast, any audio platform, you're so welcome. We're delighted to have you. And we want to kind of kick off this podcast with a little bit of fun. And so we're asking, what are you watching? What's on right now? Well, what's, you know, maybe if you comment, let us know. What are you watching? You know, maybe there's a show I haven't heard of that I need to hear of. What are you watching, Matt?
Candy and I just finished watching The Last Dance, which is a documentary about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls when they won their final championship. And so I'm big into basketball. Candace is getting into it.
Lakers for life.
She supports Los Angeles Lakers.
Why?
Comment and let us know who you support. Lakers for life. Because their outfits are just so...
Because that's a good reason to support a sports team.
Who plays for the Lakers?
LeBron.
Other than LeBron.
Bryant, who just passed away very sadly. and many other great people.
Yeah. Well done, Candy.
You know what? I'm glad she likes basketball. Yeah.
That's what matters here.
She picked the one team I hate with a burning passion. I guess that's part. But no, we were watching that.
You're not married yet.
Yeah. I hear that's married. We've been watching The Last Dance, which is really well made. Really interesting, like really good story, really good cinematography, all that stuff. It's been fun.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah. And a short episode. Yeah, it's 10 episodes. It's not that long.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 10 great. Hours of your life.
Sean? I have been watching House on Amazon Prime. First time watching it, just in season 8 now. Up there, one of my favorite TV shows. The main character is just incredibly intriguing. I don't know if any of you watched it, but just
the one with Laurie. What's his name?
Hugh Laurie,
yeah. Yes.
It's just phenomenal, the character, just him and the ups and downs he goes through. And he's like an extreme atheist too, which is great as I watch and like ask. He comes across all these crazy fanatic, like just really interesting religious people throughout the whole thing. And it's interesting hearing him ask questions and just imagining if I was asked this question by someone as like... What serious as he was. Yeah. Yeah, or how would I respond? I feel like if he was asking me a question, I'd freeze. Yeah, so that's what I'm watching.
Cool. What about yourself?
I have a problem.
I think you got the wrong answer.
This was all set up just to get you
an intervention. No, like, I've gotten sucked into the Real Housewives franchise.
Oh dear.
It's so I'm currently in New York, season 7. But I love it. It's great.
Yeah,
but
you gotta, you got it under control.
No, it is. We're getting there. And this podcast has helped a lot. But something else that I've been watching recently on Netflix, it's called, Million Dollar, Million Pound Menu. Have any of you seen that?
Oh, I see that.
It's really good. It's like people that want to start up a food chain or food restaurant. And it's similar to Shark Tank. Like there's investors. But it's all about food.
That's so good.
Cool. Kanye, I didn't actually ask you. I know you are separate to Matt as much as you are combined.
We watched The Last Dance, but something else that everyone should watch is Indian Matchmaking. It's brilliant. It's really good. So fascinating. And it's a bit strange, but I just love, like, it's a bit strange, but I love, like, understanding the people and the watching different people and different personalities. I did binge watch it in one night. I watched the whole season. It's not that many episodes. It was like 6 or 7 episodes. I watched them all. It was great.
Half an hour each.
Yeah, 30, 40 minutes. Yeah.
Well, let us know what you're watching. this is sponsored by Netflix. Subscribe today and you will get 10% off if you mention the Round Table Podcast. I don't actually watch TV. You know, I just read the Bible.
He knows everything about housewives, though.
And pray. That's because I have a wife. And that's pretty much all I do. Intercede on behalf of you guys. Now, I love Million Dollar Listing LA. It's my favorite show, where they sell off homes in LA. That's why. But really, if I was to be honest, I don't just love the homes, I love the drama. I love the drama. I like it.
Are there some crazy big homes?
Yeah. It's amazing. Oh, it's cool. I can just dream. I don't need it all. I'm going to just watch it all. And someday maybe it will happen. Anyway, that's enough of TV shows. So last week, we kicked off part one of There's Healing for a Hurried Life. Mm-hmm. And so what we're looking at really is that the life that, you know, is really promoted, it is encouraged, is always hustle, always on, always grinding, always something to watch on Netflix or Amazon Prime or the inner 20 other things we're going to watch. And it just feels like we get to a place that we're so hurried, we're almost always tired, and we're always busy. And so what does it look like to find healing in this? What does it look like to find another way than just the way that's promoted in the world? And one of the things that we've also been talking about is this book that a few of us are reading, and Matthew just finished it as well, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I really encourage you to get it. I'm sure you can get it on Kindle or audiobook or wherever, or buy it in real life. And it just really helped me, impacted me, it's challenged me to really kind of question, am I living hurried? You know, some of the ways that describe hurried is feeling drained, feeling empty, not being able to rest because you just need to recover. And so, like, how do we get to a place where we actually enjoy our weeks, we enjoy our work, we enjoy our life, and we're kind of, there's a calm to us? I'm still discovering that answer, and that's part of the reason why we have this podcast, to have a conversation. So if you were to ask me what's the purpose of the Roundtable podcast, I'd say it's to have a conversation around spirituality, relationships, leadership, life in general. And so that's what we're going to do every single week during our 8 p.m. service course. We'll have the podcast on other platforms, and we're going to have interviews. We're going to have all different conversations. It's great to have you online joining us today. So last week, we kind of finished off in looking at getting to that place. We talked, we're really referring to lockdown, what we learned from lockdown, also what things we enjoyed. You know, you talked about that, getting to a place you actually enjoy working at home now. Others, you know, hate working at home, want to get back to the office. I know that's been a little bit your story, definitely mine. And just kind of trying to get that work-life balance. And here's just one thing I want to touch on before we kind of go for it. Is that idea of that word balance? And the myth that really ticks me off so much is that people say there's no such thing as balance. And it's, I feel like that people say it just to cover up the life that we've got so used to, the habits, to go, no, this is just the way it is. And I'm like, no, there has to be balance. When we go off kilter, we must recalibrate so we come somewhat. And we'll always be either left or right. I don't just mean our politics. I mean, like, actually in our life. And I'll give you an example, and just to talk about this for a little bit, see what you think. I believe as Christians, we're called to live in the middle. Okay, and I'll give you an example. So recently I was talking to someone, I probably had this conversation so many times, the coronavirus. Do you actually believe it is real, right? Or is it at least as bad as, or is it a conspiracy that's been created by Bill Gates that's out to kill us and wipe out the whole world? And you know what my answer has come to a place now is like, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter my opinion. But I believe what Jesus has called me to do is actually, as a pastor especially, is to hold that place and to help people navigate their way through life, no matter what the result is or the answer is. And in fact, I believe that we as Christians are called to be in that place. Not have an opinion. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we're more focused on Jesus and living out, following his ways and loving others than our opinion. And I think we've got that the other way around. What about you guys? Because I think this really messes with our minds, gets us overthinking, and can cause us to be more hurried than ever.
I think when you have to take a stance, when you have to take a stance on something, that's where a lot of division comes even into the church. When it's like, well, do you believe in this type of baptism or that type of baptism? You have to pick one. And if you don't pick that one, well, then you're wrong and we're different. And it creates division. And then you have this one branch, and then there's more branches, and there's so much of that. And you know, I think there are certain things that are, you know, I guess most Christians, mainstream Christians, have certain fundamental things about their faith that, you know, compose it. And then the world, you look at coronavirus, you can see coronavirus is real. It's killing people all over the place, right? So there's certain things that you can look at and say, okay, cool, this is real. But when it comes to, you know, our opinions and how we look at life, I think we can so easily let just someone else thinking differently or looking at things differently, we can let that be a divider as opposed to something that can strengthen us. And so I think you're so right. Like being Christian doesn't mean that you have to have a certain specific mindset or a certain specific point of view. You know, it is about living like Jesus, and really that's what it's about. And Jesus was so accepting. Yes, he called out things that were wrong, but at the same time, he ate with sinners. He ate with tax collectors, people that were considered bad and wrong, right? And so, yeah, I think you're so right. I think having to have an opinion causes such division.
Yeah. I was just thinking so much on like that division that we see, and I think a lot of it, what I see in my own life and in the narratives that I guess are being thrown at us on social media and all this stuff, is that like people want, well, I don't know, but like that desire for people to live in fear, and so that everything you're thinking about is like fear, 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 survive, survive, survive. And I think that's where a lot of these issues come down to, like it's a conspiracy theory or, you know, it's actually around the coronavirus. Like really plays on people's fear, like, you know, fear motivated. And I think that's something that I've really been intrigued by when it comes down to the stuff like divisions, is that like there's always a fear. I've seen that there's like that question of like if you don't believe this, then you're against. I found that if you don't believe this, then you're against humanity, for instance. And I don't. I'm similar to you, where I've come to that place where like it doesn't matter what I think, and you know I don't need to go around saying everything that I think. But I think that's something that I've noticed, is that fear is like the kind of, it tends to be the grounded motive, grounding for it.
A little bit of a random angle, but I was just thinking, because we've had so many discussions about black and white thinking, where it's like you have to think like this or you have to think like this, you know, whether it be about religious views or whether it be about coronavirus or so many things in our world, even like what we're talking about, you know, resting and not resting, like often people go to the extreme, this extreme or that extreme. And I would say I'm a very gray person. I'm very in the middle. I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, like, does it really matter what I think when it comes to that topic, for example? And I just think, you know, in everything, when it comes to my opinion and what I think and what I believe, going on this journey of just becoming more like Christ in how I treat other people. So if you're really strong on that, then I'm just going to show kindness towards you and accept you anyway with that opinion, and having that difference rather be something that bring you closer together and bring unity and bring love, and we don't have to think the same. We don't have to be the same. And to not let, be different and not let fear drive you. But having this thing of like, you know what, sometimes, and this can drive people crazy, but sometimes it's not black and white. Sometimes it is gray and it is a little bit messy. And there's that phrase, you know, being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to just become comfortable with things not always being comfortable and not being our way and our opinion and my thinking. And, you know, if everyone doesn't believe the conspiracy theory with you, that's okay. Just let it be sometimes and let it go, which I think can be really hard to do. But just being comfortable that we're all different and we believe different things, and it can be a bit messy sometimes, and that's okay.
Being okay with the gray.
So I am, you know, on this whole idea of business, and we've looked at last week, if you missed last week, make sure you watch it or listen to it. But we're looking at all the different things that kind of can play into our life and play into our mind. We talked about social media, we talked about technology. But how about that idea of other people's views and opinions? And I do think, you know, I'm preparing right now, as we're going through this series, Good News, and looking throughout Colossians and studying that, looking into the gospel, what the gospel is. And I do think that all these differing opinions causes us to not really know what to believe. And we can carry that then into every facet of our life. And I do think there is truth. There is things that we can believe. And I do think, especially when it comes to living that hurried life, you know, well, this is just the way it is. And I need to, you know, I need to get used to it. And I need to learn more about it. But no, what does Jesus say about this? And so, Rosie, what would you think about that? What do you think? Like, do you think that we need to be challenged in that to actually come back to truth?
About what God says about, like, this hurried life, I think one, I think something that I've been thinking about recently is how God God desires connection with us, and I think he built us for connection with him. Mm. And this hurried life just does not factor in well to that. Like it doesn't aid it. But I think God's heart is for connection. And like we see in the Bible, we see in the Old Testament how people had to, there was like a designated time for them to go to the tabernacle and to be in God's presence. But we have access to that now, but we make ourselves so busy. Mm-hmm. But I think the overriding thing for me that I keep coming across, especially recently in God's word, is like he longs for connection with me. I remember a year or two ago, I was like in this, I felt the most flippin' hurried I've felt in a long time. I felt so, too many tabs open, was getting ready to go to work, and I was driving to the office, and I felt God say so clearly to me, and this doesn't happen regularly, but I felt God say to me so clearly, meet me at this place, and like a specific like geographical place, meet me at this place. And I was like, oh, flip, I think God just spoke to me. But I drove to this place, and I'd been listening to the song on Spotify as I was driving, and I have my journal with me, which isn't even a normal thing, but I just spent about 30 minutes sitting in this place, and I felt God say to me so clearly, because I was, like I said, too many tabs open, thinking about too many things, worrying about too many things, and I felt God say to me so clearly, hey, Rosie, am I actually enough for you?
That's
like,
good.
Am I actually enough? Like, you've got all these dreams, these hopes, these plans, these desires, but am I enough?
That's
and
really powerful.
I feel like that was like a real defining, almost a defining moment pre-COVID and everything, like preparing your heart. Is he enough? Because, and I think we need to come back to a place of connectedness with God in the middle of the bustle,
that's really good.
In the middle of what feels some like unbalanced. And
on that, like, we were created to be in relationship with God, and God's infinite, and so we're created with this desire for this, like, for beyond ourselves, and for being filled with God, who's, there's always more to God. And so we touched last week about, like, you know, consumerism and how we want to consume and consume and consume, and there's something in us that's created to consume, but so often we fill it with things that really can't fill that, I guess people use the word void, we can't fill that space that's intended to be filled by God. And when we, I know when I like put the time into seeking the Lord, all the things that I worry about, they're still there, and I still think about them, but they don't have the same priority, right? Like when you let Jesus in and you let him like take center place, everything else kind of just is fine. Yeah. You know,
it doesn't make perspective change.
Yes. Yeah. Your problems don't go away, but your perspective changes.
Yeah.
I do think that's a really intriguing thing about consumerism, where we do get so focused on ourselves, and especially when it comes to likes of opinions and trying to defend. You know, I find myself when I'm working with students or having a conversation, you end up feeling like, oh, I need to defend. Mm. Like even going all the way back to what you're asking about, what you said, the funny question, like baptism, for instance, I find myself, I have opinion, and I find myself like, oh, I need to defend what I believe is right. Mm. And I think what happens with a lot of the world is that we have like this idea of like, well, it's what I believe, and I need to prove that it's right. Mm. What I love about what I've found through like getting to know the Lord is that it's always for his glory, and that's what our relationship is about. It's not to lift me up and so that other people can see me, but you know, even when we read the Psalms, it's for his name's sake, and that it's for God's glory. And what really helps me when it comes to the likes of opinions is that I don't need to defend God, like I don't need to defend him, just to be engaged, kind of like what you're saying, to get into the conversation and to show love and truth. But there is that kind of aspect of what I've found from the kind of the whole consumerism that we live in is like, it's about me at the end of the day. If they disagree, they're disagreeing with me, and then I'm a lesser person. And that's just been a real shift for me when it comes to like, you know, this is for God's glory, not for me.
Question, because you work with students, right? And it's been a while since I was a student. Do you find that like younger people these days are more open to talking about faith and spirituality than our generation, or is it the same? Or
I think that's a really unique question to every situation. I think every person's different, and we see that in all the conversations that we have. But I do believe there is that kind of change of wanting to know something deeper. Like I think we've grown up, or I grew up anyway, with this idea of like what we have is all that we have, and what's in front of you. So like even something like love, for instance, love is about a relationship between and two people, and that's it. That's what love is. And I think people are really asking the question of, is there something deeper to it? Is there something more to love than just, oh, I love you, you know, you're the love of my life. Is there something more to it than that? So I think it's different for every student, but I do think there is that question of, is there something more? That's what I think,
I think, Sean, coming back to your statement about balance at the beginning and finding balance with all of this, and even as Rosie had that moment in the car with God, it's like, I think in this whole conversation, we all have to come to a point of honesty with ourselves and honesty with God about where am I actually at? Like, how am I doing with my life right now? Or am I just using things as an excuse? Because I think the difficulty is there's always going to be so much to juggle.
That's true.
We're never going to have two things, and life is so simple, and it's just wonderful. Like, that's not the reality of the world that we live in. We're always going to be juggling 30 things. And so either I'm going to choose to live my whole life using these 30 things as an excuse to live an unfulfilled life, actually, and to be overwhelmed and to be overworked and to be hurried, and I need to have that moment and pause and be like, okay, I have these 30 things. God, how can I find balance with these 30 things? How can I? And I think that's like a big question for all of us to ask, but I think it's being brave enough, even as we watching and listening to this podcast, to pause and say, how am I doing with this? Like, how am I doing with my life? Am I hurried? Am I finding place and space to rest in my life? And how do I find balance? It's a big question.
And I think, like, you know, I agree with what you say. You can't just drop everything, right? But I've had to learn that there are some things that I can drop. And those moments you're juggling 30, probably don't need to juggle 30 things. Maybe 15 is enough. And are there things that you're doing where that they aren't really bringing you joy and they're not really bringing anyone else joy? And, you know, like, do you need to do that? I think that's a big thing in a culture where, like, it's good to take on more, to actually learn to say no. And that's difficult.
It's really difficult.
Because I think our natural instinct is to please people. And the pleasing of people oftentimes creates anxiety in us. It creates this unrest within us, knowing that, what do they think about? Maybe if I do this, maybe if I act this way, maybe if I look this way, maybe if I speak this way, maybe then they might accept me. And I do think that, you know, myself and Jill, you know, we just married now 13 years, and we've learned amazing.
Well done, Jill.
She stayed with me for 13 years. But when we are long enough now to know that, like, when we have an argument, that we got to go, hold on. What's this really about? What's this at the center? Is it that you didn't put the dishes right in the dishwasher? Because that's what I, like, you know, that's... You know, that's a big deal for me. But what's really at the center, and I do think it's coming to that place, just is like, pause and go, okay, what's at the center of me? Why am I doing all this? Why am I so busy? Why am I trying to keep up with the pace of this? Why am I, like, working so hard to get money so that I can spend, whether it's on fashion or food, whatever it is, so that I can... And I think it's just dealing with those roots and dealing with those things and coming back to the center. And now, I want to speak for a few moments about being present.
That's good.
Okay. I think it's a wonderful subject to talk about, but I also think it has been probably manipulated and taken from a kind of a Buddhist / New Age thing about being present. And but actually it's a Christian biblical principle about being present. And so for me personally, I'm so driven that I, in one moment, I'm always thinking about the next moment. So, and this is where I'm trying to be centered and actually listen to what you're saying, rather than thinking about what I'm going to say. And I've had to force myself to pause, to celebrate, to reflect. And I ultimately think the answer is to be grateful. Gratefulness is the key to actually being present and stopping. And I'm present. I'm grateful for this moment. I'm grateful for the previous moment. Regardless of what has happened, I'm going to find gratefulness in that. So to ask each of you, what are some of the practices and principles that you've discovered in being present?
Very good. I'll just jump in. I think for me, some very practical things, obviously, if you're really busy, you can't be very present. And so one of the big things, and I'm a huge advocate for the calendar. I love calendars. And I am a huge advocate for using it well, whether it be a book, whether it be on your phone, your laptop, your iPad. Nowadays, they can all connect. But I just find, you know what, if you're really busy and life is escaping you and your life is so full, this might sound harsh, but that's no one's fault. Because we're allowing that to happen to ourselves. We're saying, yes, come, take all my time. And we're allowing ourselves to be busy. And we, like we said, we need to stop and we need to possibly use our calendars and say, I need to not be so busy. Or I need to put in things in my life that are things that are going to fuel me and things that are going to help me be present. So when you look at your week, do you have time for family in your week? Like, have you scheduled and calendarized time for your family? Because we calendarize all these work things and appointments and gym even. But do you have special time for your family? Do you have special time maybe once a month or every second week for your friends? Like, when last have you seen your friends? Do you have time for you in your in your month? Maybe it's not something we can do every single week. But I find for myself, when I look at my calendar, it's a big reflection of my priorities.
Yeah.
And if I've put in time for myself, I've put in a coffee, because that fuels me, a coffee, a breakfast, a night at home. I can see I have at least one night at home this week where I can just do nothing or write in my journal or watch Netflix. I feel like that really helps me to be present when I'm not just letting life run by me, but I'm actually looking at my life on paper or on my phone and saying, okay, this is a good week. I have some space and I have some time. And I think the second thing for me, which is huge, if you know me, I love celebrating. I'll just celebrate everything. I'll celebrate tomorrow's Friday. Let's just get a coffee because it's Friday. Like, let's just celebrate that we've come to another Friday. And I think it's that gratefulness thing. Yeah. It's like being grateful for today. Like, our friend is getting married in a few weeks, 3 weeks time, and every like 10 days we're like celebrating, buying her flowers, because it's a big deal. We could do that, or we could just let it pass us by and, oh, today's your day. But we're choosing to celebrate and like absorb every day for what it is, and the gem that every day is, the value of every single day. And I think that's a value that has to be learned over time. It doesn't just happen. But I love to celebrate, not just for celebrating, but because I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that it's her wedding. I'm thankful that it's Friday. Yeah. I'm thankful that it's the weekend. And just finding ways to be thankful and be grateful and celebrate what I have. And that helps me not just let life pass me by. That helps me to pause.
Yeah, I love it.
I love to follow off what you're saying there about celebration. Like, and celebration's always better when you do it with someone else, right? And I think that's been something that I've really noticed when it comes to working through this stuff, is like having communication, like quality time with someone where I can talk and we can talk together and just have a conversation with someone who knows you and who knows what you're going through. And, you know, almost sees kind of like what God is doing in your life, and it's the same way you see what God is doing in their life, and you really have that place to talk and to sit down and say, look, this is what I'm doing right now, but I'm currently thinking about what I'm going to be doing in January 2021. And it really helps you to say, look, okay, that's great, and you know, why are you thinking about that? What's going on today that you're not thinking about what's happening right now? And I think just even what you said there about the celebration when you're doing it with someone else, it really helps you to kind of separate yourself from all the thinking that I do all the time. I always feel like my mind is on the go. When I talk with someone else, it really helps me to slow down and to verbally process and say, this is what's on my mind. What do you think?
That's so good.
That's really good, man. I think gratitude is like huge. I think that I have learned from you so much in that, because sometimes I'm like, Candy, stop celebrating. Just
There's a reason.
but it's so important, because you, and we're all different. Like, but that's contagious. Like, gratitude is contagious. Having that grateful disposition. For some of us, you've got to stir it up a little bit and it's like mud. But for some of us, it's like natural. And I love how that rubs off on other people. I think gratitude is huge.
So I really hope that this podcast has helped stir within you and challenge you to ask yourself the question, am I hurrying or am I intentionally slowing? Am I being present? Am I living a life that is grateful? And if the answer is no, you're like us, But we can start here and we can start now and be aware of it. And even ask God within our lives and within our days, God, help me to be present. Help me to come back to what you're getting me to focus on. Help me to be grateful for what I have and who is around me, not what I don't have and not who I'm not with. But I really hope that this has blessed you and encouraged you. Join us for week 3. Next week is the final part of this podcast. There's Healing for a Hurried Life. Can't wait to see you there next Sunday, 8 o'clock.